Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
The Claire Byrne Show on News Talk
with Aviva Insurance.
The NHS in England is introducing a new digital triage system that could see some patients arriving at A&E being asked to return later or redirected to other services if their condition isn't urgent. Supporters of this say it will and does reduce waiting times and will ease overcrowding. But could a similar approach apply here in Ireland? Well, I'm joined now on the line by Professor Mick Molloy. He is chair of the Consultant Committee for the Irish Medical Organisation. You're very welcome to the programme. So first of all, what is your understanding of this digital triage system that is being piloted in quite a number of hospitals across England?
So there are two aspects to this, Ciara. One is the triage in the door of the emergency department, and the other is the triage on the phone that happens at the NHS. And the difference between the NHS and our HSE is it's integrated from the emergency departments to primary care to many of the other services around, and we don't have the same sort of integration currently within the NHS or within the HSE, which would make it a little bit more difficult to achieve here. I agree it can lead to reduced waiting times, but the people that it reduces the waiting times for are those who would have had excessively long waits, and the people who turn up in emergency departments with very low priority conditions can have excessive waits because there are always more serious conditions to be seen before them. That's the purpose of triage, to make sure that nobody with a very serious condition has to wait excessively long periods of time. But if your rooms are already full and your emergency department rooms are full of patients who've been lodged or admitted the day before and waiting for an in hospital bed, a digital system won't speed up the process for new people coming in the door because there's a capacity issue which we have to address.
The evidence coming out of the UK is that it is halving the waiting times for those urgent cases that are in A&E. But it doesn't say anything, I suppose, research to date about what happens to those who are redirected or those who are sent to come back on a different day or in a different time slot. Would you have concerns around the digital triage of those patients who are told to come back at a different opportunity or to go elsewhere?
So triage in itself is a very brief process where it's computerized. The nurse who sees you in the triage room goes through what you believe are the relevant issues for you on that particular day. And by following particular algorithms, you end up with a code. One would be seen immediately. Two would be seen within a half an hour. Three within 1 hour. Four up to 3 or 4 hours. And five, you could be waiting for a long period of time. So it depends on the individual understanding everything that's wrong with them at that particular time to make sure people don't get incorrectly triaged lower than they should be. But if still is only a limited amount of information. And the UK system, I'm not aware of it. I haven't worked in that element in the UK system. And the data you're saying about it cutting the time for urgent patients, I'm not clear on that because the article I read from your researcher talked about cutting the waiting time for those who had the long waits, which were the lower priority cases. And it was referenced to another article which talked about inappropriate deaths or unexpected deaths because people were waiting long times, which was a different issue.
How do you think Irish patients would react if they arrived at an emergency department and they were told, no, you need to go back and see your GP, or you need to go to a different clinic, or you need to come back at a quieter period tomorrow?
That's the tricky part. Mm. And that really is a public opinion matter. I know in some emergency departments that does happen right now. So particularly where you've got minor injury services in a hospital which are front loaded to be operating maximally during the daytime, and somebody may present at midnight or 1 a.m. and be told, listen, you could wait here all night. And you will be seen by that group of people when they start work at 8 o'clock in the morning, because overnight there are larger volumes of people with very serious conditions and less staff around. So you will still wait for that 7 hours, or you could go home, go to sleep, come back at 8 o'clock in the morning and be seen by that person or that service at 8 a.m. with a minimal wait time. Those systems already operate in some hospitals quite effectively. Now, the difficulty with the hospitals is at the moment in Ireland, we can't complete the circle with somebody who should maybe be attending their GP, because in the one instance, not everybody who attends emergency has a GP. And number two, we have no linkage to the GP booking system to get an appointment for that patient if they should be with their GP.
So one of the difficulties here is that we don't have all of the alternative services in place and available to people when they need it.
True. But sometimes the patients are following the instructions they're given, and the instructions that can be given in some of the relevant hospital clinics themselves are, if you have a problem, come back to the emergency department. So they may be in a cardiology clinic or a gastroenterology clinic, or have just recently been discharged post-surgery, and be told, if you have an issue, come back to the emergency department, rather than contacting that individual team directly. And that also leads to frustrations, because the patients rightly believe that that team are sitting there waiting for them to arrive. And when we're in the emergency department and we get somebody with quite a complicated medical history who's got particular medications which have potential side effects, and you're looking to contact the relevant team, they go, oh, well, we're not available to come and see the patient. But you did give them the advice to come to the emergency department if there were any problems. So we have a little bit of a gap in the understanding of what an emergency department should do and should function as.
Do we also have a bit of a gap, though, in terms of the information that is given to a patient when they go to A&E and they have been triaged? Should they be told at that point, look, you are a red alert, an orange alert, or a green alert? You're, you know, in the first pile of urgent cases, or you're down in the fifth pile of not so urgent cases, and let people with that information then make the decision, okay, maybe I need to go elsewhere, or maybe I need to come back at a different time.
That is a really, really interesting point. And it's something that we have discussed at length among our own group of colleagues who work together. And excuse me, we have differing opinions on it. Mm. Some are afraid that patients who have been triaged a three might leave and get worse at home when they should remain and wait to be seen, and that those with a five may actually have a second problem, which is actually of higher precedence than what their triage note dictates, mm. because they didn't understand that the other issue they have going on is more serious, and they put priority on the lower priority medical complaint themselves. It's complex, and any change to a particular system would take quite a while for it to bed in and to get a common shared understanding among all the medical side of the system and the patients to make sure it works effectively.
My own experience of going to A&E or taking the children to A&E is that actually they're very reluctant to tell you where you are in the queue or how long a wait you might be facing.
And that is because they've had unfortunate cases where people have been told you're going to wait a long time, have left and have suffered a significant deterioration, and then come back at a later point with a more difficult to treat condition. We were in the very unusual situation during the COVID pandemic where we were actually encouraging patients to try and come to the emergency department. Such was the drop off in attendances, particularly for medical conditions where you would have, sorry, now this sounds statistically, benign, but that you would expect a certain number of heart attacks and strokes and whatever. And over a period of time, we were not seeing these, and we were worried that people were sitting at home, not asking for attention because they were so afraid of COVID at the time that people were not presenting. So we were in the unusual position of encouraging people to attend. Such was the fall off in attendances. That has completely reversed, and now attendances are higher than ever, unfortunately. And this means that at times people can have waits, and we're looking for initiatives within the hospital systems to treat things as effectively as you can to make sure there's as minimal delays as you can. But there are two essentially compounding issues here. One is the need to treat the people with the most urgent conditions as quickly as possible. And two, the larger number of people who've got more minor, easily treatable conditions, which could be turned around very quickly. But if you have a system which prioritises that group and you're encouraging that group to continue their attendances and continue their own patterns, effectively you're going to be overwhelmed and swamped with the volume of patients. So it's a very difficult issue when we're balancing resources versus capacity.
It's an interesting one, though, because I think people would like to think that technology and AI could be used in some way to deal with the overcrowding, the chronic overcrowding that we do see in our emergency departments. But it sounds like we haven't quite worked out how to use it just yet. Dr. Mick Molloy, thanks so much for taking the time to speak to us on the Clare Byrne programme.
The Clare Byrne Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekday mornings at 9 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.